All right, we're going to talk today about God's masterpiece. That's what the Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago while I was sitting in my office. He just gave me a vision of something, and I kind of want to expound on that a little bit today. Have you ever considered yourself a work of art, or do you let the devil make you feel like you're a piece of garbage? I mean, that's a fair statement, isn't it? We all maybe struggle with some of those things. You know, I want you to think about something. If God went to all the trouble to save us like he did, don't you think he has a purpose for our life? You know, I believe he does. You know, our original purpose may not be God's original purpose, and we're going to look at that today. You know, maybe we need to be repurposed. And I believe that's a truth. Usually, when we look at ourselves, we see all our problems. Excuse me. But when God looks at us, I believe he sees our potential. He can see through all those obstacles that we kind of put up in our lives. And I want us to open our hearts today and our minds today and to be able to really see what God says about us. The scripture I want to look at today should be fairly familiar for us. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. We use this one here a lot in the area of salvation, giving our lives to Christ and understanding that. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you that we're not alone in this endeavor, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of us because we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, right now I thank you. I take authority over any hindrance, anything that Satan tries to bring to disturb us or discourage us or to try to distract us. Lord, I thank you just for perfect clarity of heart and mind. Lord, as I deliver this message, I yield to the gift you give me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we all know, we are saved by grace through faith. Now, nothing that we can do can make that any better. We just have to receive it. We have to accept it. We have to bring it into our life and make sure that we have somewhat of a, if not an all-consuming comprehension of really what that entails. This is really a cornerstone or the foundation by which you can build upon. Because if you have this messed up, your house is going to fall. Because this is a foundational belief that we're saved by grace through faith. And if we don't accept that, then we're never going to be able to build a life to bring glory to his name. Now, we should understand somewhat about covenant. We talk about that from time to time and what it means to cut a covenant. Now, many of you watch maybe some TV shows. Some of you, I kind of like the old swashbucklers and maybe the old kingdoms and all that stuff sometimes. And what they would do is that one kingdom would send off an envoy to another kingdom and they want to enter into a covenant or contract, and they would marry off, you know, their kids. And when they did that, then they would be in covenant with each other. And what happened in that, and Pharaoh did that with Solomon. You know, Solomon wanted to strengthen his empire. His dad was a man of war. Solomon was more of a man of peace. And he did it by a lot of these negotiations of marrying, which really led him astray because he married some foreign wives that worshipped, you know, other idols, and that got him in trouble, but that's another message for another time. But the strength of covenant of when you enter into marriage with somebody, that they bring all their assets and you bring all your assets, and then you have those assets somewhat together, and you can draw on each other. Now, the position that you or I was in is that when God wanted to cut a covenant with us, we had no assets. We were dead broke. We had nothing to bring to the table to God to offer him something that was of worth. Because the Bible says our righteousness is of filthy rags. So God in his infinite wisdom, sent his Son on our behalf. So Jesus stood in our place, and he brought all his assets, and he cut a covenant with the Father, and we enter into that covenant. And we just receive it because it was given by grace, which is unmerited favor, which meaning we didn't earn it, but God chose to give it to us. All we have to do is accept it by faith and to receive it as a part of our life. And that's the hard part for some to get past. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but I got news. The devil believes in God. It takes more than believing in God, you know, to be able to have a relationship with him. It talks about giving our life to Christ and entering into that. We're going to go into that a little bit deeper here. The scripture also says not to brag, not to boast. You know, sometimes we can get prideful. You know, pride is what led the devil astray and got him into trouble with God. And all I know is that if we're wise, as we should be, the Bible says to humble yourself and let God exalt you. When we do that, then we start to tap into the things of God that he wants for us to receive. And we can bring him and bring him into our life. But as long as we think that we, you know, are good, too good, or whatever the case may be. One thing I thank God for, I shouldn't thank God for this, but we don't have any snooty people that go to this church, amen? Snooty people don't fit in here. You know, snooty people come and they leave. You know, they just don't fit because, you know, my belief in life is that we are all equal in God's eyes. And that comes, you know, I just hope I portray that God doesn't favor anybody above anybody else, that each person has a fair shot at what God wants. You know, we just got to receive it by faith. Now, salvation, like I mentioned, was God's idea. He did all the work. All we have to do is enter into that. All we need to do is trust him. Enter into a level of trust, a covenant of trust, in the finished work by responding to that invitation. So, salvation is not by works, but it's by will. Now you need to think about that. It's not by works. It's not by going out and helping little old ladies across the street or doing nice things for people. But salvation is a yielding of the will. Because you and I have a will. And that will can sometimes be strong if we let God harness our will. So we can, you know, hook up and yoke up with Jesus. But that will can also be dangerous because it can be like those in the book of Genesis when they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. They had a will to do something. They wanted to build a tower that maybe God couldn't kill them all with the flood again. They wanted to make it so tall, you know, so God was concerned because they was able to hook up together and utilize their will, the human will that God gave us, but they were using it for the wrong reason. And see, that's why you and I need to make sure that we humble ourselves and make our will line up with God's will. And that's possible. Now, the next point I want to see is created in Christ. Really, we're recreated in Christ. And that's the key. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about that. It's a very good chapter. It's got a lot of good revelation in there. You ought to look that over sometime if you get a chance or make time to do it. But we're recreated in Christ. And what that means to me, you know, mostly, most of us would all accept the fact, and I believe we all do that are sitting here today, and hopefully those who are listening to my voice, that God has the power to make something out of nothing. I believe most people would admit that as a true fact. God has the ultimate power to make something out of nothing. And we see that in Genesis. There was nothing. All of a sudden, there was something. And God did that. Okay? God can do all things. So if God can make something out of nothing, don't you think God can make something out of something? You know, meaning take your life that's already here. And make something out of it. You know, a lot of times we try to make things for ourselves and, you know, self-help things and all that. And it's all good to make yourself better, but if it's not for God's glory, then we're going kind of the wrong way. And it's a long way. You know, I remember I still can't get over this. When we was coming back to town from the farm, you know, Caleb would always ask me when we're driving, when I took a turn, is this the shortcut or the long cut? You know, a lot of people take the long cut, don't they? You know, they don't take the shortcut. You know, they go the long way around because, you know, they try to do it their way and they get lost. Now, this recreation I'm talking about is the regeneration. Now, to me, that's a powerful word. You know, when it's talking about being regenerated, when God, you know, he takes our spirit man and makes it alive again unto himself. That's the born-again experience. And we have to stand strong in believing that the Bible says you must be born again. And that ties into what I was talking about. There's a lot of people that believe in God. There's a lot of nice people that believe in God. There's not a lot of nice people going to go to hell. Amen. Believing in God. But they've never been born again. Jesus said that you must be born again to be able to perceive or to understand the kingdom of God. And that's a spiritual rebirth. It's not something you ascertain in your head or try to formulate some sort of thinking about it. What it means to be a Christian, that's religion. But what it's talking about is letting the life-changing experience come, meaning that you yield your will to God's will. God says, my ways are not your ways, but they can be. If we read the Bible, pay attention, and act upon the Word of God, then God can bring us to the place that He wants us to be. Now, I was thinking about this, and you know, there's a lot of this going around. Have you ever heard the word repurposed? You know, a lot of people repurpose things. You know, I think that's kind of neat. You know, it saves the landfill, right? And, you know, what that's talking about is repurposing is adapt something for a different purpose. Now, one thing I was Googling and looking around, and, you know, I thought it was kind of a great idea. I don't think I'll ever try it, but, you know, they took an old console TV, you know, had the four legs like we all had, or not all of us, but many of us had when we were little, and they put a fish aquarium in it. So it's, you know, somehow they did that and they set that in there. So instead of watching TV, you can watch the fish. And who knows, that might be better yet. I don't know. Also, I seen another idea where they took some tennis rackets and they put a mirror inside of them. So this old tennis racket, instead of throwing it away, they had a piece of mirror cut and put it right in there and they hung that on the wall. I thought that was really cool. You know, I wouldn't take the time to do it myself. But, you know, those are kind of interesting ways of repurposing something instead of throwing it away. So, to me then, it's taking something that is not useful anymore and make it useful. Some call it recycling, but I want us to think about another word. Now, God took our lives, right? And He repurposed us. You know, we were living for ourselves, living for the devil, whether you want to admit it or not. Either you're living for God or living for the devil. There is no in-between land. But primarily, instead of recycling us, God upcycled us. Have you ever looked up that word? That is a word now, upcycling. You take something that was old. I'll just read what it means here so I don't get it mixed up. It's upcycling is when you create a product with a greater purpose or value than the original. That's upcycling. Now, what did God do in our life? Upcycled us. He took our life and He created us for a greater purpose or value than we were originally. And that's how we need to see ourselves. God changed our life. When we were living, we were going out, we might have been doing some good things, but if it wasn't for God's glory, then it was for our own glory. But see, God upcycled us and made us better. Now, good works is what I want us to see here. We're going to head into this. And that's the employment, or we're saved to do something. We have a purpose. Now, before I got saved, I had a purpose in a sense of what I wanted to do as far as my vocation. And most of you probably had a plan for your life. Some people struggle and maybe ciphering that out a little bit. But most everybody usually gets that figured out. And you know, that purpose, you know, might be to work and to do that and buy a house and all these things. But, you know, those things are not going to really be eternal. You know, no matter how good a house you have, it's not going to be an eternal house. No matter how good a job or what you do, it's not probably going to last for all eternity. All these things, everything has a shelf life in this world. In the kingdom, It's different. It lasts forever. The things in God's kingdom are eternal. And when we see that, you know, there needs to be some fruit. Everybody likes fruit, right? Hopefully you do. I know some people don't. All right, don't raise your hand. I don't want nobody to judge you. No. There, you know, fruit's good. I mean, I know a lot, it's got a lot of high sugar in it and stuff like that, but I enjoy fruit. Not all fruit, but a lot of it. But there needs to be some fruit of our salvation. We need to have fruit. The proof that we're saved means that we should have some kind of manifestation in of our life, that number one, our life has been changed, and that we've allowed ourselves to be repurposed so that we have greater value in God's kingdom, so that we can accomplish some things for God's glory, so that in turn we'll draw people to Christ. That is our role. We need to draw people to Jesus and bring them closer to God. And as we do that, then we know that God's kingdom is going to get stronger because it's going to get bigger and it's going to get better. Now, God prepared these things beforehand. God in His infinite wisdom, and we're going to get to the scripture, the last one here in verse 10 in a moment. But, you know, many people, you know, have you ever heard the old saying, I'm just playing what's dealt, right? I'm just playing what's dealt to my life. This is what I have. I'm going to play these cards. I never was very good at cards. So that, you know, just something I don't do very much. But see, God doesn't play what's dealt. God creates the deck. And we have to understand that God has all the cards for our life. And He's wanting to play those cards. But yet He wants us to come alongside and to be a part of the game, shall we say. To be involved with the process on what He wants us to do. And as we start to maneuver our life and, you know, try to correct our direction, you know, then we're going to start to find out. Now, one of the most important things that we're going to get as a follower of Christ is that we need to become a Christian. And that's where I was kind of alluding to. It takes more than believing. You know, I'm a believer, yes, but there's a next step, and that means to become a Christian, and there's a difference between the two. Now, the word Christian means Christ-like, correct? We've went over that a little bit before. To be Christ-like, meaning we need to be growing so that the fruit of our life as a Christian starts to manifest the life of Jesus Christ living through us. And now, we're going to make mistakes. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but we need to get to the place that we want that. Now, what I want to get to is verse 10 here, talking about His workmanship and how that plays into our life and what the manifestation of that is. Now, this word workmanship in the Greek language is talking about, in one translation, I believe it's NIV, says handiwork. My New American Standard says workmanship, but it's talking about a work of art, meaning that we are a work of art. I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself in that way, that you're a masterpiece. I don't think we do all the time, and I think we should start to see ourselves in a different light. Now, what this scripture's talking about, it's not by effort or labor because of the artistic skill and craftsmanship of the one who's doing the work. Now, I don't know how you see that, but people that can do art amaze me. I'm not very good. I peaked in my artistic endeavors in the second grade. I kid you not. I peaked right there, and I haven't grown since. My claim to fame back then was abstract art. Does anybody remember that one? At least that's what I remember they called it. You just draw a bunch of triangles and squares or different things on a piece of paper, then you color them in different color like stained glass. And I did that for years. Rode that horse as long as I could until they got wise, you know. But I will say this, I still brag about it sometimes because I don't brag on my artistic, but one time I got a blue ribbon at the art show for a dog I painted. a face of a dog. Truth be known, I traced it. I didn't tell him that part. I don't know how I traced it to this day. I was trying to think about that the other day when I was putting this together. They must have had tracing paper. Can you trace through something? But I know, because I had a real canvas. We bought this little, you know, canvas, like an 8x10 canvas, you know. I was working on, you know, that I really went big time there. I think it was 8th grade art. And I don't know, I drew this dog and colored it in. Of course, all browns, that's my color, you know. I was really kind of earthy back then. Still, my earth phase. I was in my earth tone phase. And everything was kind of brown. And anyway, I got a blue ribbon. I don't have the ribbon, but I still have the picture. We found it the other day when we were throwing stuff out. I think we saved it. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it amazes me. I know several of you are so talented. You know, Troy, awesome at, you know, drawing things. You know, and there's some kids, you know, in the church. And if you're good at drawing and I forgot, I apologize. But it just amazes me how some people have been gifted in that way where they can see things that I can't see. I don't even know what's there. I mean, it's not in my way of thinking, my processes, you know. And like I was talking about repurposing things and upcycling things. I mean, to me, landfill. I'm all about getting rid of stuff, you know, for the most part. I just can't wait and to get rid of stuff, because I know my office don't look like it, but I do hate clutter. I live in it sometimes, but I do hate clutter. And, you know, have you ever walked up to somebody when they were drawing something and it wasn't finished yet and you couldn't really make heads or tails, really totally, well, this ain't going to be that good. I don't think you're going to get a very good grade on that. But then you let them finish and all of a sudden, oh, wow. I mean, you've probably watched those guys that make that American flag thing. They paint it upside down. They do it on TV, and they go to the sporting events, and they'll draw some picture, and you can't really make heads or tails out of it. Then they'll give her a flip. Whoa, now you can see it. See, they can see things that I couldn't see. And I think that's true for all of us in some ways, because before I got saved, I took a trip around Europe for about 2.5 months, and one of the places I went to see the Statue of David when I was in Italy. Amazing. Just amazing. I'd seen a lot of statues, you know, all Europe is just full of them everywhere. Some of them are falling apart and missing noses and stuff that I probably would have done myself, you know. Oh, yeah, I did make an ashtray once. I think that's what, we couldn't tell exactly what it was. Everybody made an ashtray for their parents, didn't they, or whatever, whoever. Remember that? I just now went to my head. That was my clay project, you know. But, you know, just seeing, because what made me think of is when the noses were off the statues, I just wonder what my ashtray looked like. It was missing some pieces, I think. But, you know, it amazed me, that statue, the perfection and the intricacy of everything that was drawn. And how amazing that was, that somebody could do that. And we're studying the tabernacle in Bible school, and just, you know, just reading through the Bible every year, and just reading the tabernacle, and how God anointed some people as a craftsman, and they could take one piece of metal or gold, and they could fabricate something out of it. And it can only happen when it's in the hands of a master craftsman. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody has that ability. Now, I'll be honest, I'm good at other things, you know, I think, a few things. But that's not my thing, art. And hopefully you found your thing. But one thing about that statue was that, you know, the amazing part of it is I read something about Michelangelo when he was making this statue, is that, you know, he knew there was a person inside, and he just had to let it out. It was in that stone, trapped. And he had to let it out. And so what he would do is that he would cut the unneeded stuff away to get to the statue, to get to the person that he was making. And see, that's what we have to do. We have to let God, because he believed that it was his job to free the human form trapped inside the block. And so that unneeded stuff had to be cut away. Now, they use different tools, and we won't go into that right now. But I wonder how many people walked by that same stone that he made the statue of David out of. How many people walked by that stone, all they see was a rock? Maybe some of them, when they walked by it, they could see that they could maybe break that stone up and make a fence out of it. And see, a lot of times, we walk by people and we judge them because perhaps, number one, they're not done yet. God's not done working on them, like I said about that picture. But we just can't see inside what's really in there. Only God can see our potential, people. God knows our potential. He knows what he put inside of us because he dealt the cards. He made the cards. He created us. And he put gifts and talents inside of us. And I'll be honest, some of us don't even know what our own gifts and talents are. But God does. But we have to do something. See, salvation is free. But discipleship will cost us everything. Amen. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost us everything. You know, by grace you are saved through faith. That's a step to get into the kingdom. But if you want to grow, then you got to let God start to cut those things away. You got to let him cut away the things in our life that are unneeded to get to the masterpiece inside of us. Because God created each of us with a purpose, with a plan, and we are special in God's eyes and how much he loves us. We just need to let him cut the stuff away. Let the master craftsman have his way with us. And our life will be changed. And we will be changed. Now, it's a very painful thing, some of it. Now, I remember when I first got saved, I can still picture in the bedroom living at 610 South Gilpin, Denver, Colorado, sitting at my little desk studying, because when I got saved, I just wanted to know more. And as I read the Word of God, I kid you not, sometimes it would just whap me upside the head, because God was taking just big chunks off of me. Just big chunks of my male ego, my pride, and just breaking me. I know that sounds mean, but it's not. Because, you know, I was full of myself. You know what I'm saying? And I had some pride, and I was self-sufficient, and I wasn't raised to be dependent on anything other than myself. But God, the master craftsman, in order to make me into who, to repurpose me to a better purpose, had to break away some things in my life. He had to humble me. And when he did that, you know, like I said, at first it's painful, you know, but then after that it feels better, because I got rid of some load. I got rid of the pieces that weren't needed anymore that I was carrying. And see, but then after that, after the big stuff, you know, God pulled out some different tools. And he's still working on stuff in me, don't get me wrong. But different tools and a little bit of fine-tuning here, just tap here, tap there. And then at the final phase of when you're making a statue, I read, is that they get out the sanding paper to polish and to make it smooth and perfect. And see, so there's different phases in all of our life. Sometimes big things get broke away. Sometimes it's a little intricate things. You know, it amazed me in those statues how they can make the fingers and the fingernails. Or they make the robe and they, you know, the little riffles in a robe. I just can't see how somebody could do that. But I do know if a man can take a chisel and make one of the most beautiful pieces of art there is, how much more? How much more can God do in our life if we let Him? Never let the devil tell you you're a piece of garbage. Because God has recreated you. He's regenerated you. He's repurposed you. He's upcycled you for His glory. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love You. We thank You so much, Lord, that we know that we're not alone in this endeavor. But, Lord, we know that we just need to surrender. Lord, just to get rid of those things in our life that aren't needed, that distort the image of God wanting to live through us. And Lord, we just offer up our lives today by a surrender of our will. If you're here today and you've never made that surrender, you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you've given it and taken it back and given it and taken it back, I want you to give it today. To surrender. If that's you today and you feel the Holy Spirit touching your heart and you want to surrender, just slip up your hand. We want to pray with you today. Amen.